to partner with Compassion International and to have an opportunity to support a child who is in need. Yesterday or the day before, I was looking on YouTube and just going to the Compassion site, and there are so many stories of people just like who we just heard, who've been impacted through Compassion International, where they were in a place of hardship and poverty, and through someone like me, someone like you, just decided to sponsor them monthly and to write them a letter and to encourage them and help them in a way that they could go to school, they could get medical care, they could get all the things they need to actually function as a human. But what's so great about Compassion International is they do it all in the name of Jesus. They do it all with a focus on spiritual growth. And I actually got the opportunity, my wife Megan and I, about a year ago, to take this call that happened on a Sunday here at Remembrance and decided to sponsor a little girl named Abigail in Honduras, and she is amazing. And it's been such a blessing, because you get to participate in her life. We have her on our fridge, and every time we go by, we get to pray for her, and we know that she is not only getting the help that she needs, but she's getting discipleship, and she's getting pointed to the Lord. And so today, we actually have that opportunity for, if you feel called, if you feel led to pray about it, to sponsor a child that is in need. Compassion, so their mission statement is releasing children from poverty in the name of Jesus. And compassion means to suffer with, and combined with sympathy, to combine sympathy with action. Right? And so to partner with a child, this means we're combining this compassion, this sympathy that we have, and we're taking action to do this. And so I just want to challenge everyone in here that if the Lord's calling you, if he's giving you that nudge to support a child, that it's well worth it. And we have a bunch of children that are in need of sponsorship out in the lobby that you can go and look at after service. And there's lots of ways you can do it. There's even a QR code these days where you can just scan it and you can do all of that stuff. Really encourage us as a church. Actually, there's some celebration. So in Honduras, in our El Nance location that we'll talk about, that project we've been fundraising for, there's a compassion program on top of that hill. And our church alone sponsors over 200 kids in that sponsorship program. And as we were trying to figure out if they still needed sponsors there, we actually found out recently that every single child that is a part of the program in El Nance is completely sponsored. Completely sponsored. It's amazing. Yeah, you can clap for that. And that's a large doing from this church community. But also, as I was looking at the packets out there, they weren't able to get us any more from El Nance because they're completely sponsored. But we do have lots of children from Honduras that need sponsorship. And Honduras is close to our church's heart. We have a long-lasting relationship with some pastors in Honduras. And so there's just a lot of amazing kids out there that need some help. So if that's you guys want to do that, you can go do that after service. You can come talk to me. You can talk to Renee about doing that. And speaking of El Nance, where the Compassion Children meet, and where a church that we help support and partner with is there. If you don't know the story, it grew tremendously during COVID. And so much that they grew out of their church, and through a couple meetings with the pastors, they had this dream to put this huge pavilion on top of the hill so that if... I'm disconnected here, Eli, by the way. So I might need some help from up there. Basically, they wanted a pavilion so that if it rained, they could still have service, they could still work with the sponsor kids in their church, but also because they were just growing so much. And so we put a challenge out to our church to help raise the funds to make this pavilion. And I think maybe a month ago, we put this challenge out. Our goal was $60,000. And as of last Monday, guys, $66,000. We have matched it, and we have went above and beyond. It's amazing. And so I talked to Pastor Marlon this week, and he sent me some pictures. So here's the pavilion. And actually, they're putting concrete down this week. So that's pretty cool. This is just so amazing for them. They truly are growing, and they are a light on a hill. They're literally on a hill. So just thank you so much, church, for just pouring into this place, for this be able to happen. Here's a video I think we can play. Maybe not. Well, there's a video that shows basically that. So it's really exciting that we got to do that. So just thank you, church. Thank you so much just for supporting that. We get to go back, hopefully, this fall with a small team to help them, and then again this coming spring. So I didn't introduce myself. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Matthew. I am the mission guy, and I work with our young adults. And I get the opportunity, the blessing, the honor to share with you guys this morning. And we are in a series this summer in the Psalms. And so Pastor Eric kicked it off last week. If you haven't heard that message, it was really great. You can go to our website and listen to that. And so I got to choose whatever psalm I wanted to share with you today, which was kind of a hard task. But through some prayer, I landed on Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And I'm really excited. This is a medium-sized psalm, so it's not too long, not too short. But I'm actually just going to be focusing on just a few verses. But before I jump into that, I just wanted to just read this with you. And so I want you guys to follow along in the best way that you follow along. So if you brought your Bibles, you can open up to Psalm 96 and follow along. You could follow along on the screen. Or if some of you want to just close your eyes and just let the words just listen to and hear it and listen and get it into your heart that way. So I'm going to go ahead and read Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established and cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. Amen. Thank you, Eli. All right. So if we can break this passage up, it's an amazing passage. Every time I read it, I feel like it goes a little deeper for me, but you can break it up in a few different ways. And one is through three sections. So it's worshiping, it's witnessing, and there's waiting. And so we're going to focus on two of those today. But with worshiping, it's pointing us to worship God. The Psalms are actually just meant to help us worship, to show us ways to worship and to lead us in worship. And so this psalm does that very thing, is it gives us lots of actions of how to worship. But then it tells us also why God is worthy of worship. So it's just beautiful in that way. And then there's witnessing. There's some of these action verbs that we're meant to actually witness to the nations through the way that we worship. And then at the very end, there's waiting. So the Lord will come again. And we're not going to talk about that today, but it does create an urgency behind our worship and behind the way we witness. The other way that we can look at the psalm is through widening circles that it points to. So that first of all, it points to the people of God. Talks to the people of God. Then it talks to all of the nations of the earth, and finally, to creation itself. And so we're going to actually focus today, narrow focus, on just the people of God. So us. What is this psalm saying to us as people of God? And then we're going to focus on how worshiping and witnessing are so closely connected. That when we properly worship, we naturally witness. So we want to properly bear witness of Jesus to the world. And in Acts 1:8 it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." And I am the mission guy, and we want to be good witnesses. And so what does it mean for us to be good witnesses, to properly witness Jesus to the world. And as I was reading this psalm, I realized a lot of times we go through the psalms and we're like, that was really cool. That was a really cool psalm. It pointed to Jesus. It worshiped God. It was awesome. But then we realize this is actually amazing. And what we're reading is so incredible, and it's actually teaching us so much. And so I broke down this psalm into the different action verbs that we're actually called to do. So I'm going to read that for you. And then also, it tells us why we should do these things. So just let this sink in. These are the actions that we're getting called to do in this psalm. To sing 4 times, to praise 2 times, to proclaim, to declare, to ascribe to the Lord, to worship him, to tremble, to say to the nations, to rejoice, to be glad, to resound, to be jubilant, to sing for joy. That these are all of the expressions that this psalmist is saying that we have towards the Lord and towards the nations. And actually, 1/3 of those actions are about witnessing to the nations. That when we tie in this way that we worship the Lord, we will witness to those that do not know Jesus. But then, what's so good is it tells us the reasons why we should worship. And he said, it's because of God. It's because he brings salvation. He is glorious with marvelous deeds. He is great. He is worthy. He is feared above all gods and idols. He made the heavens. He has splendor and majesty, strength and glory, holy. He reigns, and he is the judge. And so as I studied these things, maybe you guys can relate with me, but I realized I think I have a hard heart. Because all of that is amazing. And the first time I read through it, it didn't do anything for me. Other than me saying, wow, this is a good verse. This is a good passage. And I realized so often that I might be complacent in the way that I am worshiping, in the way that I am reading scripture, that I just felt like I had a hard heart. And I had to work through that with this passage as I was trying to get this together. And so I just wanted to, from what we just read, I just want to pray over us. I want to pray over myself, pray over us, that these things of the Lord, for everything that this passage says, that would set into our hearts, that we wouldn't have hard hearts when we read the word of the Lord, when we see this amazing, his glorious deeds, his marvelous deeds, how great, how worthy is he. So I'm just going to go ahead and pray before we jump into a few verses. Lord, thank you so much that you bring salvation. Lord, thank you so much that you are glorious. Lord, that you are great, that you are worthy, that you are feared above all gods. Lord, thank you that you have strength and glory. You are holy, Lord, that you reign, that you are the judge, Lord. Thank you that we can proclaim these. We can declare these, Lord, that we can worship you, God. Lord, I just ask if you would continue to soften my heart and that you would soften our hearts, Lord, to what you're doing, to your goodness, Lord, that we wouldn't be in a rut of Christianity, Lord, but we would look at you and we would see how great you are, and it would move our hearts, Lord. That these words in this psalm would move our hearts to action. That they would move our hearts to worship Jesus. And they would move our hearts to witness. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So out of this whole passage, I'm actually going to only focus on verses 1, 2, and 3. Just 3 verses. And so we'll go ahead and jump into that. So verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. And so when I was looking through this and I was doing some study, and I think our natural bent when we see this verse first is thinking, oh, a new worship song. Like maybe Eli's going to bring a new song next week, or picturing some worship collective sitting together and putting together the next awesome song that we sing, which we're so thankful for, that we get to sing those new songs. But I don't think that this is necessarily pointing to that specifically. I think when I read this, sing to the Lord a new song, I think, wow, God is great, that his grace, his mercy is new each morning, that he is holy, that he is good, that our hearts should be singing a new song, that we shouldn't be complacent, but we should be pressing into the joy of our salvation. Because when we know more of Jesus, when we seek him out in our day-to-day, we are going to know more about him. We're going to have a better revelation of who he is. And so when we think about us, are we singing a new song or are we just kind of in routine? Say a new song, always new. Keep us the freshness of our praise. Do not drivel down into dull routine. So when I think about this verse, I kind of think about West Michigan a little bit. And I'm right into this. We are so raised with the gospel saturated around us. We're raised with the things that we're supposed to do. We're raised with going to church and doing this, and it's all good things. But I think sometimes we miss the awe of Jesus. We miss how amazing he is. And we just let ourselves fall into routine rather than pressing into singing a new song for the Lord. So I was in a youth with a mission. I was a missionary for about 4 years. And when I came home to the church I was a part of at the time, I was on fire, right? I was going after the Lord. And there was this older gentleman in my church who was like, "That is so awesome that you're on fire. You know, take it all in while it lasts, because life's going to get hit, it's going to hit, and it's going to be hard." I remember in that moment, in my spirit, just being so defiant of what he said. It's like, no, I never want to lose the fervor of going after Jesus, my zeal, and I know that life is going to hit, but I don't want to lose that. But I think sometimes, even as we are regular attenders of church, we can lose that fervor and that passion, the wants to sing a new song for the Lord. And so this first verse is to sing to the Lord a new song. And for me, this can happen through worship songs as well. The song, The Blessing, really good song, talking about God's leadership and blessing over generations, and it's really good. I remember first time I heard it, I did not have a daughter yet, so I listened to it, and I was like, this is a pretty cool song. I can praise this. Let's go. And I would praise, and it would be good. But everything changed once I had a daughter. That song was new to me. Before, I would also often go to God and want his leadership over my life, and now I desperately needed his leadership over my family. It was something new for me. It was a revelation of his goodness and how much I needed him for my daughter. And that happened through this new revelation and my heart being soft to the way that the Lord was speaking through this song. And so for us, the challenge of just verse one is that if you're the youngest believer in this room or the oldest saint, that we must gain fresh awareness of God's love and grace every day. That we must worship that way, in a way that we are so enamored with the Lord. Martin Luther says it like this: "Other news delights us only at first hearing, but the good news of redemption is sweet from day to day. Christ is now as fresh unto me as if he had shed his blood but this very hour." Do we have that joy? Do we live with that angst of how good Jesus is? Because I think that connects to our next verse. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. That when we are living that first verse out, when we are living in a way where we are pressing into sanctification, we are pressing into the Lord, we are pressing into his goodness, and we want this to just overflow out of us, we will naturally proclaim his salvation day after day. And when I looked at this word proclaim, and then the next one, declare his glory among the nations. When I look at these words proclaim and declare, I'm not saying just with our mouths. That we are meant to proclaim with our lives, to declare with the way that we live our salvation day after day, the glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. You know, at one point, if we are followers of Christ, we were in the kingdom of darkness, and at some point now we became the kingdom of light, right? At one point, maybe some of us struggled with anger, struggled with gossip, struggled with lust, and now we have Jesus and we've got breakthrough. Do we live like we have breakthrough through Jesus? Do we declare with our lives the way that we live? Do we proclaim his marvelous deeds among the people through the way that we live? Do we proclaim with our lives his salvation day after day? And so when I look at these first three verses, I am so convicted. in my own life as I've been going through this. Just, wow, like my life should be singing a new song of worship to the Lord. I shouldn't be caught in my dull routine with the Lord, because I want to witness to the world. Not only does Jesus deserve the praise, but I want to be a proper witness to this world. I want to properly be able to walk out of these four walls and live a life that's different. I want to proclaim and declare not only with my mouth, but with the way that I live. And so my question to myself and my question to all of us here today is, do we look different? I listened to a teaching just recently on holiness, and just this idea of sanctification and the idea that our culture wants to pull us in a completely different direction. And so to look at sanctification, we have to look at ourselves with real eyes. We have to actually look at ourselves, look how we're living, and ask the tough questions. Yeah, okay, we can't just say, okay, we go to church, or we do this, but do we look different? Do we look different than this world? Do we look different in the way that we live? Do we look different in the way that we do community, the way that we do family life? Do we value church and discipling our kids over the world? Do we have a joy for our salvations? Do we look different in our generosity, in our justice, in our wisdom? Do we look different in the way that we love people that think differently than us? Do we look different than our country in the middle of a political season? Do we look different than other people on social media? Would someone point to you and say, yeah, that person is different because of Jesus? Because we cannot give as we want to witness to the nations. We want to proclaim his salvation. We can't give what we do not possess. The most effective witnesses are those who are obviously captivated by the greatness of God and his salvation. And so a quote by Baker Academic, and I know John Piper has said things similar, is this: missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. So I believe that he is right, that worship is the goal of missions, but also it's true that missions is the basis, or worship is the basis for missions. If we are not fervent worshipers, and when I say fervent worshipers, I mean, are we not living our life in the way of worship? Romans 12:1 is to offer our bodies as living in holy sacrifices, or living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is a true and proper worship. So if we're not fervent worshipers, living out the gospel, living, proclaiming and declaring with our lives salvation, we have nothing to tell those that don't know Jesus. If we do not live with the joy of God's wonderful salvation, why should someone that doesn't know Jesus want to listen to what we have to say? So worship is both the goal of missions and the foundation of missions. And Stephen J. Cole said this. This got me. This is convicting for me. If we're not worshipers, we will be lousy witnesses. If we're not singing a new song to the Lord, we're not getting fresh revelation, if we're not living and proclaiming and declaring this worship through our lives, we will be lousy witnesses. And we're all called to be witnesses of Jesus. And so then my question is, has somebody asked me why I'm different? Or have I shared Jesus in the last week, in the last month, in the last year? Because if I haven't done that, I just might be a lousy witnesser. And if I'm a lousy witness of Jesus, then that has to reflect on the way I worship him. Because when we worship Jesus with fervor and truth, and we are properly worshiping Jesus, that's going to be a natural reflection in the way that we live our lives. We will naturally look different. And you know, I'm the organic outreach leader here, and we're often trying to teach and learn, how do we share the gospel? And how do we share our testimonies. But wow, how easy would it be to share our gospel, the gospel and testimony if people were just asking us why we're different? Because it started with the way that we lived. It started with the way that we worshiped, and people couldn't help but ask why. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12 says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires and that wage war against your very soul. Be careful to live properly among the unbelieving your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." That's incredible. If we live out these first three verses, if we're just worshiping the Lord in the way that we live, the way that we declare, the way that we are different from the world, people that don't know Jesus will give honor to God. That is a way of outreach. That is a way of reaching others. And I could sit here and talk about the early church for a long time because I am a stat guy, but I'm not going to do that. I'm only going to share two things about the early church. So Michael Green, he's a scholar. He said, and so the early church blew up and was just spreading like wildfire. And he said that 80% of the spread of the gospel in the early church was through normal people. And so this great movement of Christ, you know, it says, scholars calculate that by 350 AD, there were 20.2 million Christians. That's an incredible amount of Christians in that amount of time. And what they're saying is that 80% of that happened wasn't through someone preaching on stage. It wasn't through an extravagant worship service. It wasn't through an amazing evangelist like maybe Billy Graham of his time. It was through normal people that lived so radically different than the Roman culture. They lived so different than the Roman culture that people asked why. They asked why, and there was times of heavy persecution in the early church where maybe they're not saying, "Hey, come to our Easter service," or they're not inviting in that way. They had to do it differently. They had to live it out. And I believe that the early church is an example of what it meant to be a true worshiper and a proper witness to Jesus. And a witness just simply means someone that sees something important or amazing. And so in the Greek, the word witness is martus, the root word for martyr. And so in the early church, you could often use the word martyr and witness together. That these Christians were such a witness of Jesus Christ, and it was so threatening to the culture that they were martyred for their faith. They were willing to look so different that they would die for their faith. And I don't think that America these days looks so much different than the early Roman Empire. Maybe we're not going to get martyred for our faith. We're not going to get killed for it. But for us to live a radical life of purity is very offensive to our culture. For us to live in a way of hospitality and community and unselfishness is very against our culture. That if we want the spread of Christianity to go through America, if we want revival to break out, it has to not only just be with our words to saying, "God's good, come to church." It has to be the way that we live our lives. We have to be different than our culture. More than ever, I feel like we're in a time in our culture where we have to decide and put our flag in the ground and say, we are planting our flag, we're going to look different. We're not going to give in to the ways of our culture. So do we live in a way that people ask why? Because what if we live so differently that our life spoke the gospel? So much of the pressure of sharing the gospel would be gone because our lives would speak it. We would look so different that the world around us would ask us why. And so as I, and the band, you guys can come on up. You know, as I end here today, I just have a couple questions, or I guess a couple challenges. And that's this: let us continue to sing a new song. And we have to be honest with that statement, with ourselves. Are we just in routine in our Christianity? Do we come to church on Sunday because it's just the right thing to do? Or do we want to be transformed by our amazing Lord who brings salvation day by day, who has marvelous deeds, who is just absolutely incredible. And I know that sometimes growth feels like we go one step forward and two step back, but looking at ourselves honestly, and it's okay wherever we land on it, but we must continue to sing a new song for the Lord. And secondly, do we live in a way that people ask why? That's another honest question. Do we look different than the way the world does things? And I believe that part of the reason that the early church grew so fast is because they took this seriously. That they took the call of the Lord serious because they knew the transforming power of what he did in our lives. That we were once in darkness and now we are in light, and now it is our call to go to the world. So before we pray, again, I've said it a few times, I am the mission guy. So there are some opportunities for you guys to get involved. And if I think that maybe if you're sitting there, okay, I want to get involved, I want to live this way, maybe the best way is just to sign up for something and to go and to serve. And so we have opportunities in downtown Grand Rapids, opportunity with some of our mission partners in Detroit. And also coming this spring, we will be doing another trip to Honduras, a mission trip to Honduras. So you guys can go ahead and sign up for those in the lobby if you want more information. And then also, you just have an opportunity to sponsor a child that is in need. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into another worship song. Lord, thank you so much that you are good. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you prompt us to do good, Lord. That you will lead us into these new songs with the Lord. Holy Spirit, that you would guide us. So God, I just ask that Remembrance Church, that myself, that we would be just such a church that looks so differently, Lord. That we'd be radically obedient to your word, but we would just be extravagantly loving and be witnesses to this world, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. We just want to worship you some more. So we worship you in this next song in Jesus' name. Amen.
Why don't you guys stand as we sing about the holiness of God?
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing a song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will be, will sing a song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name, oh, it stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name, oh, it stands above them all, and the angels cry, you're holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. And if you've been forgiven, oh, if you've been redeemed, we'll sing a song forever to you. Bear his name, we'll sing a song forever to the Lamb. Oh, yes, we'll sing a song forever and amen. And the angels cry, you're holy, all creation cries. Holy, name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name, oh, it stands above them all. Above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name, oh, it stands above them all. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name, oh, it stands above them all. Above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name, oh, it stands above them all.
And the angels cry, you're holy. All creation cries, you're holy.
You are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, you're holy to the King of Kings. You're holy.
Take a moment and just be still before the Lord. Father God, we acknowledge that you are holy. And so as we end this time of worship, what did God say to you today? Men, what does he want you to do? He's not going to leave you the same. My sisters in Christ, what is it that he wants to change in your life that will make you different? What is it that he wants to transform in you? What is he saying to you, to the young people in the room? What needs to change in your life? What is he asking that you would be the light and the salt in the world? And for some of us, maybe it's a simple but heartfelt confession of complacency. For if you're here this morning and nothing is to change, then you're not listening. What is it that God wants to change in your life? What does he want to transform? Holy Spirit, minister in this midst, in our midst, in your holiness. Change our thinking, change our hearts. Father, we thank you that you are a personal God. You've created each person here. You know us. And we thank you for how you love us and for your grace that changes us today. And for that, we do give you praise. And for those reasons, we offer our worship to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, team, for leading us this morning. Doesn't Matthew do such a good job? I mean, just again, bringing God's word. And again, I love our young leaders. They really inspire me. Again, so thankful for them. As we wrap up, the prayer team is here. So if you have any prayer needs this morning, Shell and John would love to pray with you. As you leave the room, offering, again, part of our mission, right? You can give in so many different ways online. The buckets are there as well. As we continue our worship, I want to invite you. Our mission, our middle school students are going on mission. They leave tomorrow morning. They'll be gone part of the week. They come back on Thursday. So we're going to go right out here. There's a new patio, so you can go out that back door or even this side door. Just meet me over there with no students. Come on over. Anyone can join us. We just want to pray for them as they go on a spiritual formation trip here this week. God's blessing to you. What a great day it's been to be together. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Amen.
Amen.